This is the one and only Trailer Park Trash Ohio Valley Wrestling Original, and you're listening to Live and in Color with Wolfie D.
Hey, this is Jimmy Street, host of the Live and in Color with Wolfie D podcast. Hear the life and times of professional wrestler Wolfie D, from his time in the territories with PG-13 to his time in WWE, ECW, WCW, TNA, and more. Nothing is off limits and nothing will be held back. Thanks again for tuning in. Here he is, Wolfie D.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Live and in Color with Wolfie D and my man Jimmy across the street. Jimmy, how are you this morning, my friend?
Brother. I'm doing well, man. But it's been a bit of a downer for the past couple days here, you know.
Yeah, man. This week has been like an incredibly morbid week, not only, man, for wrestling. I mean, obviously, this is a wrestling podcast and we're going to talk, about Terry Funk and Bray Wyatt. Man, I mean, one of the greatest, and probably Bray was going to be, I mean, already one of the greatest. But you know what I mean, as far as
right.
Harry's age and his longevity and things like that. And even last week, I mean, heck, we talk about the Tennessee Titans in football. And, I'm not sure if some of our listeners know that Caleb Farley's father was killed in a freak accident of his $2 million home just exploding. I guess a gas leak or whatever. But
in the town I live in. That's
yeah. I mean, just crazy week, man, for stuff like that. I mean, you know, and not to mention people that don't make headlines, of course, and you know, the Pittsburgh shooting and the California bar shooting, and just it just seems like this week has been like people just dying, and I know people die every day. I'm not saying that, but it's just been really like in your face. And to me, you know, it's one of those things, and I think I've said this on here before, it's just, you know, my mom always taught me, you know, the never hang up without saying I love you, never walk out the door without saying, you know, goodbye, I love you.
Right.
You know, if you got people that you care about out there, you know, let them know that, because you know, again, I sometimes sound like a broken record on some of the things that I say, but man, if you got somebody you care about out there, a friend, a family member, whatever, maybe you're not on speaking terms, unless it's something just really absurd, I would squash it and, you know, tell them that you care about them, you know, because you just never know, man. You're just not guaranteed. And it makes me think, and I don't mean to get too deep on this before we get into our show, but, you know, three years ago, I had a massive pulmonary embolism, which if I hadn't gotten to the hospital in time, would have killed me.
A year later.
The Widowmaker was a year later. That's right. Another one where if I hadn't got to the hospital in time, I would have died. So you just, and I felt fine an hour before both of those things happened, you know, had no clue, man, that anything was wrong with me as far as that goes. And so it's just, man, you know, it's cliche, but life is too short, man. Life is too short. And, you know, Terry Funk, man, one of the greatest. I think I met Terry once or twice. I mean, I know I met him at least once and talked to him, and everything that everybody says about him, man, he talked to you like he knew you for years. And absolutely the same thing with Bray. He, and I don't mind saying this, he came to visit, not me, but another wrestler friend of mine at rehab in Tampa. I'm not going to put that person out because I haven't asked their permission to say that. But Bray was not in it. He was just coming to visit that person. And I met him there. And, man, I was shocked. He knew my history. He acted like he knew me forever and talked just like we were friends for a long time. That just said to me, man, this guy's, he's one of the boys, you know?
Right. Yeah, man. Yeah, I mean, obviously, Terry is on my Mount Rushmore, and you know, just I love everything about Terry. And, you know, they kind of reminded me of each other because, you know, Terry sometimes, if he didn't like the way the story was going or what he was doing, he would just dip. you know?
Yeah.
And that's why you would see him all over the world. And then also the genius that he was one of the first of the boys to work in Hollywood. And the only reason he did that was for the insurance that's provided by Screen Actors Guild. And so like you can't, it's hard to get insured, as you know, or it's also very expensive to get insured as a professional wrestler, unless you've got someone that, you know, you're married to that has a job that has it or something to that effect. So what he would do is to provide insurance for his family. He would do like 4 or 5 acting gigs a year and have that Screen Actors Guild insurance. And I think that's genius, dude. That is a true working. You know, I always loved that about him, you know, and it's cool to see him in movies and stuff. Over the Top. I mean, Roadhouse. I mean, he was on Quantum Leap. I mean, dude, there's so many great movies he was in that just I love Terry Funk. And then honestly, Bray Wyatt kind of reminded me a little bit of Terry Funk, not necessarily in the gimmick or really even the wrestling style. But sometimes it felt like when the storyline wasn't going like he liked it, he would dip, you know. And now I know, you know, they released him and stuff. And then I know he had been dealing with this illness. And I think it said that he had a heart attack after having COVID. And they were even preparing, you know, a storyline for him to come back because they thought he had kind of gotten over it. And boom, drop like that, man. That just tells you, that just tells you that if a 36-year-old, what you would consider healthy, active man can drop, that tells you that it ain't promised tomorrow, folks. No. Really, you're not.
Not even next hour, man.
Yeah.
It's crazy, man. And I, you know, I like I said, I didn't know either one of them super well. But I know people that do. And so my condolences go out to those people and to obviously to their families and to the families of the other folks that I spoke about. And hell, to people that I don't even know about that lost someone this week. You know, it's life. It could be brutal. But like I said, man, I'm one of those people that I feel like, man, you should always tell the people close to you and that you care about, that you love them, because
amen.
It's just cliche, but tomorrow's not guaranteed.
So true.
But as hard as this is, man, to somehow segue into our show today, you know, one of my good buddies, man, who I'm glad we're getting an opportunity to talk to.
Yes. It's
been quite a long time, and, you know, kind of goes to my point of keep in touch with the people you care about, because this is the dude. I've had some good times with him. Frank Miller, Trailer Park Trash, man. He, OVW Original. And like I said, just he was always a fun guy to be around. He's definitely one of the boys.
Right.
Some people that don't really understand what that means, because some people say, I'm one of the boys. No, you ain't. No, you're not. you're a wrestler, Weekend Warrior guy. But no.
Right.
No, nah, he's definitely one of the boys. He was trained by one of the best, Danny Davis. And we all know how I feel about him. So, you know, we love on this show, you know, me and you talk about this when we're planning stuff, that we love to laugh, man. And I we had to acknowledge the stuff at the beginning, but I feel like let's have a little laughter. I know both of those guys laughed a lot. So I know Trailer Park laughs, and I know he's a funny dude, and I think we should go take a break and, you know, say a prayer for those families and come back, and let's talk to my man, Trailer Park Trash.
All right. After these messages, couldn't say it better.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey folks, to get your official Live and in Color with Wolfie D merchandise, go to prowrestlingtees.com/livewolfied. Check it out.
If you're listening to Live and in Color with Wolfie D on Apple Podcasts and like what you're hearing, go ahead and leave a 5-star rating. And while you're at it, write a review. Tell us what you liked. Tell us what you'd like to hear in the future. It's very important to us and always appreciated. Thanks again.
All right, guys, we are back. And once again, what a great guest we got today. Somebody that I personally really like and professionally really like working with years ago. And I haven't talked to you. This is actually, you're hearing us talk for the first time in probably quite a few years. Ladies and gentlemen, man, Trash.
What's up, my man?
What's going on?
I was trying to think earlier how long it's been since we actually seen each other, much less talked.
I was thinking that too, and it, correct me if I'm wrong, but I came up to OVW when Danny was still around, and I came in as Wolfie D just for a one-time thing. I don't remember if you were there or not.
Yeah, but you was there after that with the Disciples.
Was I? Yeah, maybe so.
Remember you was with the Disciples with Sin and...
I thought that was after.
Well, yeah, I think Wolfie came back as Wolfie after Slash.
Yeah, just from one time.
Me and you worked together. We worked together at the new arena in Louisville for when Nick Densmore was having his amateur shows.
Yeah.
He did the 10-week gimmick for a new class, and then they got to have a show, and he'd bring in some of the guys that, you know.
Yeah. And for those people that don't know, so man, you were there like from the get-go and everything with Danny Davis and when he first started everything. Talk about Danny a little bit. We've had Flash on, we've had Nick on, and heck, I even saw Danny for the first time in forever at Jerry Jarrett's funeral, and he don't want to do nothing wrestling related, but I'm trying like hell to get him. But yeah, talk about Danny, man. Training with Danny, man.
Man, Danny was awesome. I was lucky to actually, you know, get with Danny while he was still on the road working. Danny, it was all in ring with Danny, you know, the right. Training. It wasn't him standing on the outside pointing fingers.
Yeah.
And man, it was just, you know, Danny was old school, man. You know, when I first started, I mean, for a long time, you just got the shit beat out of you. it was basically class, you know, your ass was. And finally, you just, you know, he figures you're dumb enough to keep hanging around or you're not dedicated. So then you move on from there.
Right.
Man, I love Danny like a dad. Danny, I learned so much about life with Danny, you know, man, just about how being a man. And honestly, because Danny will tell you if you ever get him to talk. When I first met Danny, man, I mean, I was a very shy, like 19-year-old kid. I mean, I had trouble looking at him in the face, you know, in the eyes, just talking to him about joining the school.
Right.
And he just, you know, he's such a great guy, man. I mean, there's nobody better to work with. And when years on later, when I kind of took over OVW for a while for him and wrote TV and whatnot, you know, it was all me.
Yeah.
You know, he kind of stood back out of the way and handled other things, but, you know, everything to do with the business part was me.
That says a lot about you.
That Danny taught me. You know?
That says a lot about you, I think, that Danny Davis would give you the reins like that. You know, that ought to make you feel really good, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, man, you know, for the reputation OVW has, too, you know. Just, you know, at one time it was called the Harvard of Pro Wrestling Schools. You know, it was just, look at the guys,
that,
you know, my God.
Yeah. You know? A shit ton of stars.
I think attitude there. You know, 70-80% of the roster in WWE, I think the attitude area was Danny.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And you worked with most of them just like I did. I mean, funny because it's funny to me, and I don't know about you, but like some of these, like Orton and Batista and Brock and those guys, man, and Shelton, but like I don't remember ever thinking to myself, man, this motherfucker's going to be a star. I mean, I knew they were getting paid and stuff, so I knew they were going to do something with them, but you know what I'm saying? Did you see it right off the bat?
I never dreamed they'd be the fucking megastars. I mean, look at Batista.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You know, star. I knew he had high ambitions, and, you know, and he had the worst ethic, and, you know, you knew them guys were going to go up there and make money.
Right.
I just didn't really see any of them honestly, I kind of seen Brock killing somebody before he ever. I thought, man, this guy. But, you know, I was fortunate enough. I met Brock way before he came to OVW with Curtis Henning.
Oh, yeah.
Because I met Kurt in Puerto Rico, and me and Kurt, you know, got to be pretty good friends, and Kurt and Brock were real good buddies.
Oh, okay.
And Kurt, I don't know if Kurt had anything to do or not with hooking Brock up with Vince and getting sent to OVW or not, but I know Kurt was pushing Brock at the time to come to OVW.
So how long did you stay in Puerto Rico with Henning?
He'd come in. I was down there for like 6 months. He'd come in. You know, he didn't stay. He'd fly in on Friday, you know, stay overnight, you know, one or two shows, and then go back home.
He was absolutely one of my favorites as a child. I love him.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. I liked him.
Man,
he was awesome.
I got to work him a few times down there. It was just butter.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, man.
Any funny stories from just hanging out with him?
He liked the rib guys and stuff, but, you know, down there, I don't know if he was just kind of, you know, a little bit different than normal or whatnot. He just, you know, he was kind of there about business and ready to get the hell out of there. He didn't really go out and do much, the times he come down when I was down there.
Right.
But, you know, we remained talking, you know, we kept talking on the phone and whenever he was close to town or, you know, whatnot for a little bit. And then, unfortunately, later on, you know, it happened. But, but that's when I first met Brock. And then the first time I had to get in the ring with him is, you know, damn, dude. I mean, I'm not a small guy. I'm not huge either, but man, he picked me up and threw me. He was like, "Holy shit, brother!"
Yeah.
Can I just wrestle a bear or something?
this ain't you know, you ain't college wrestling, man. but he got to be, you know, before I left for a little bit anyway. He got to be a pretty good workman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but he was just a you know, he didn't like very few people there. Him and Danny are still to this day really good friends.
Really?
And like I said, you know, I mean, I don't know if I know he didn't hate me. You know, he liked me and respected me, and that was good enough for me, because the ones he didn't, they just stayed out his damn way.
Yeah.
I can't remember this kid's name. He was a student of Danny's and, you know, got to making it to the shows and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember his name for nothing, but Brock come back one night after a match and this kid in the locker room, and this kid was sitting on the bench. And I don't even know exactly what the hell he said to Brock, but Brock just turned around and slapped the holy piss out of him.
I mean,
down goes Frazier, man. This kid blew off the bench down to the ground. And, you know, and Brock just kept on and didn't say, you know, it was like, damn. You know, like when the monsters come in, man, it really got. It, you know, we went from just being a little small promotion to all of a sudden, damn, you know, be something.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I agree with you, though. I seen all of them being stars, but not the mega stars they went on being, and good for them, you know. Shit.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I just remember, you know, and I've told this before on here, just, you know, when I was doing Slash, I was taking a Greyhound bus from fucking Nashville to Louisville. Somebody picked me up. I'd stay with Cornette and all that shit. And, you know, I wasn't getting paid very much at all. And then, you know, these guys are there, and I know I can work circles around all of them. And I knew, you know, they got apartments and fucking a paycheck. And it's like, this is bullshit right here. Guys like me, you, Flash, Sean Casey, Chris Michaels. Yeah, those are just... a number of us that were, it's almost like we kind of got overlooked or used in a way, you know, because they knew, okay, boy, well, we're never these guys.
Well, that's what I was kind of going to say. You know, we were there for a reason. You know, them, the guys wasn't just getting, taught in a class. I mean, they were getting hands-on experience. That's all they had, all of us working on those guys all the time.
Yeah, and the reason was season.
Yeah,
exactly. And I got to admit, sometimes, you know, I get a little aggravated. I'll read something about this or about that. And you know what? You know, that's right. But you're leaving out, you know, a lot of guys. These guys might not be what they are today if they wasn't for a bunch of us guys.
Right.
True.
Can't Trailer Park Trash get a superhero or something? Come on, man.
I mean, shit, man, you know. And you know, that I think that was pretty much meant to be a joke.
Really?
Well, yeah, I do want to hear that. Yeah. Kinda, tell me that. Yes, please.
You know how that come up? I was Jack Slayer.
Uh-huh.
And Danny had called me up like a Friday night. And he said, hey, do you want to go work Memphis TV?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the reason I got in the game. That was anything else after that didn't matter. I mean, that right. was my glory right there.
Right.
And so me and Sean Venom, so we got together and left later at night and got to Memphis. And Lawler, we got there to the TV, and Lawler called me in his, you know, little bathroom, locker room office, and looked at me. And I had long, scraggly hair, half unshaven, you know, shit looking goatee and whatnot. He said, you look like Trailer Park Trash. That's exactly how that come up.
Is that right?
How it come up, man.
That's good.
I swear I don't think he had any idea what he was going to call me or do with me or anything until I walked in there.
That's funny. I never knew that. That's awesome.
Wow. Yeah.
Hey, awesome. And you know what?
Danny.
Go ahead.
You know, back to Danny. Danny's the one that, you know, not long into that gimmick, Danny seen, he said, you know, man, we're going to get you over. And, you know, and I laughed at him. Yeah. You know, who's going to be hollering, go trash, go? You know? But you know, and I don't know really, you know, I was still green as grass. I just did what Danny told me to do. But the point of it was, you know, I all of a sudden become one of those people sitting out in the crowd because I actually was.
Yeah.
You know, I grew up from day one I can remember, a wrestling fan and a horse fan.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
hey, that's one thing. I don't want to get off the wrestling for too long, but I do definitely want to talk about kind of what you're doing. Train you train them and race them too, and all that. Tell everybody what that's all
about. Yeah, I'm a trainer. My grandpa was involved. You know, that's growing up. I was, you know, damn near raised at the racetrack as a little kid, but he always made sure I got home by noon on Saturdays to watch wrestling. You know, that was the only two things I did. But anyway, it just, you know, like wrestling, it got my blood, you know, and I fooled with it a little bit back in the day when I was still wrestling, but, you know, never, you know, might kept one horse here and there, but got into it kind of more seriously about 16 years ago.
Yeah.
And then, so I've been training for 16 years, but, you know, basically, you know, you try to get clients, people that's willing to invest their money in whatever kind of horse they want, you know, however much money they want to spend.
Right.
And you try to find the best you can for that money. And, you know, I use a lot of things from training guys in wrestling, you know,
really?
With the horses as far as fitness and, you know, things of that nature. And that's really the main part of the game is to get your horse, you know, fit and sound, you know, keep it sound and happy and run it in the right spot in the condition. Uh-huh. And, you know, and if you do that, a lot of times it works and you win a race, you know.
Have you had any go to some big races?
No, man, I'm a blue collar trainer, so to speak. You know, I don't get the clients that's got millions and millions of dollars to spend and to do all that shit. I get, you know, groups of two or three, four buddies that want to get together. Cause I mean, it's an expensive ass, you know, I'm on the low ball, on my pricing, but I'm at 85 a day right now for per horse per day.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
You know, and I'm cheap. Some trainers are 125, 150 per day per horse.
Yeah, that's a realm that I don't really know much about, man. But I just think it's cool. Yeah. That's kind of something that you do, you know.
I just love horses. You know, I love being around them. Horses are really very therapeutic.
Really? Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know about you, but I don't speak for myself with all the concussions and shit. I'm about half stupid. So, you know, it really, you know, that's the brightest part of my day every day. And that's if we work 7 days a week, you know.
Really?
I've got five employees under me. You know, got to make sure all the horses get trained and bathed every day and fed, stalls clean. I mean, it's daily. You know, there's no off because you're sick.
Yeah.
You know, it's got to be done, you know.
Yeah.
So that's what I've been doing, man, for, you know, last 16 years. And then I've been away from OVW, I guess, about 8 years now, I guess. But yeah. I think I was 6 or 7 years with Danny, you know, at the last trip.
Right. Well, I'm going to let Jimmy jump. I'm going to tag out real quick for Jimmy to ask you a couple of questions.
Yeah, man. Well, so,
again, nice to meet you, but I'm open book. Don't fear to ask me a damn thing, because I will promise you I will answer it.
Okay, well, really tell me what you think of that bastard Wolfie D. No, I'm just kidding. So you're talking about starting all the way back to USWA there and Jerry Lawler giving you that name. Then I see you work guys like Bart Sawyer and Flash. Now, had you known Flash before that and then you worked together at USWA, or did you kind of meet up there? Tell us a little bit about your time working Flash.
Well, man, I've met Flash. I first met Flash at Danny's.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Flash was working for Jimmy in Smoky Mountain. When I first met Flash, he had just started for Jimmy.
Okay.
Smoky Mountain, and he was doing shows for Danny, but it wasn't long after that Smoky Mountain folded up. But Flash would come and work the shows for Danny. And so that's how I've got met. Actually, I think one of my very first matches was Flash.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Very cool.
And it was god awful because I was horrible. But Flash took a liking to me or whatever. We just become friends after that. And, you know, I love him like a brother. Flash is, me and Flash has got some stories together out of front.
He's great. Yeah. One of our top five shows all time is Flash Flanagan. So, yeah.
Flash is something else, man. You can't help but love the bastard. You know, I used to call him Big Stupid. You know, all kinds of shit. You big goofy bastard. And and outside of working like Wolfie and some of the other guys, man, me and Flash clicked. You know, we just together or, you know, working each other.
Yeah.
We did a lot of that hardcore shit. But, you know, we made it mean something. You know, it wasn't like all this other shit you were seeing, like Ian Rotten's, where people's just, you know, not selling. And, you know, me and Flash still made sense with it, you know.
Yeah.
And people, you know, shit. Flash was great. You know, Wolfie, man, I met Wolfie, I think it was my second weekend in Memphis. Uh-huh. And for whatever reason, man, him and Jamie and Randy Hales invited me to ride with them to Nashville.
Oh, Lord.
And they kind of, I know a lot of the certain respect I got in the early days was because Danny training me.
Yeah.
The guys that Danny trained and that Danny would vouch for, like going to Lawler. Right. You know, you just automatically got a little bit of respect because they knew you might be stupid, but you wasn't a fucking dumbass. I remember we went all kinds of places for me to but man, I'll never forget that trip. It was great because I'm I respected these guys, man. It was awesome just being with them.
I tell you, one of my favorite things, like one of my favorite spots and just memorable moments, it was in Nashville, it was for Bert, and you and Flash, remember when y'all hung me out of the balcony by my neck?
Oh, man.
Shit was awesome. And the reaction from the people was so different. It wasn't, it wasn't a big bump reaction. It was people screaming, oh, my God,
Well, damn, man, we went up to the second floor and hung you off the damn balcony. You had to be, 8-10 feet in the air?
Yeah, something like that.
and we had a chain wrapped around your neck.
Yeah.
Honestly, the way everything was positioned, if your hands for some reason let go, you were fucked.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. We had the safe word, remember? I said, listen, I'll stay there as long as I can. When you hear me say kayfabe, because nobody really knew what that meant, but I didn't have to get away with it. And right. That was the safe word. It was kayfabe. When I said kayfabe, they dropped me.
I think me and you was working. Setting up for that spot, basically.
Yeah. And I tell you, I think this was you. You tell me if I'm wrong, and we'll edit it out. But I think this was you. Me and you, and I almost want to say Vic, the Bruiser, maybe all of us went out in Louisville one night before Danny's show or something like that. And didn't you, you stayed at that first building, or something like that. And then I slept. I guess I was so drunk, I fucking slept in the ring
and woke up to Danny flipping the light on over the rain, telling me to get up. Do you remember that?
Yeah, man, because I lived upstairs. I lived upstairs in the I guess you want to call it the attic of the school. But if you remember, the fucking school had no air conditioning.
Yeah.
And the only heat in the fucking wintertime was when he had a show or in his office. Because a lot of times he stayed all night and downstairs in the office in the locker room.
Yeah.
So, it's a funny reason how I lived there. Because, with the trailer park trash, give me a what shot and listening to Danny and doing what he said. I mean, he got me pretty damn over there.
Yeah.
I was a good draw for him at the time, and my dumb ass had got in trouble for something. and he helped me out a little bit. Well, then I got in trouble again. And this time the old man had to come out and bring, I think it was $10,000 cash to bail me out.
Holy
And I swear to this day, as much as he says he loves me like a son, and I love him like I love him to death, I got nothing but respect for Danny, and I always will. If we didn't have a show the following night, this was supposed to be a big night. He wouldn't come back. I swear.
Oh, man.
I remember, how open are we on this show?
We're open as you want to be, man.
All right. Well, I remember we did a show somewhere out in LaGrange.
Mm-hmm.
And coming back, I had some little local rat with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, and I've been drinking, obviously.
Yeah.
I remember I pulled off to the side of the highway because I was pissed. And had my lights out and shit. And I go up there, do my thing, get back in the car. Well, there was a fucking cop behind me the whole time with his lights out. I never seen him. Well, He kicked his lights on. Of course, I had a little bag of gimmick.
Yeah.
And I'm, handing this to her. Here, stick this up your thing, whatnot. And so they pull her out up to the side of the hill. And then, I'm sitting up there, too. And they bring in the dog. And I'm sitting there thinking, thank God. Well, she fucking stuffs it in the seat. Dog sniffs it right at me. So that's what I got busted for.
Oh.
The next day, I was there overnight. Obviously, this was, I think, on a Friday night.
Yeah.
But the next day, Saturday, it was in the afternoon. After talking to Danny two or three times, he showed up with the cash and got me out.
What was his demeanor when you came walking out of there?
Oh, dude. You can imagine. I was scared to death say a fucking word.
I bet.
I kind of got the lecture. I mean, he wasn't, I really expected him to be backhanding me and shit.
Yeah.
Because they told me, got just a little paperwork to do. Bail's been posted. I knew he's the only person that had the money, or that could have done it anyway, or would have.
Yeah.
So I knew it was him, and I'm thinking, oh, man, I don't know if I'm this motherfucker. I was living in a little apartment over by Churchill Downs, and that's why I lived at the school. He made my ass move in at the school.
Now that you elaborated, I do kind of remember all that. Wild times. We've all done a bunch of stuff we might not do again, but hell.
We had a blast. we had, that was the thing. I was living, I was living life, man. I was, living a childhood dream. I mean, I've been very fortunate. I had two dreams as a child, and I've living them and have lived both, training horses and wrestling. Man, like I said, anything that happened after Memphis didn't matter to me, anything in the WWE or any of that crap, because Memphis was my thing, man. That was, I didn't really get in the business over money. I got in the business because I loved the business.
Right.
Yeah. And I just wanted to so bad be a part of it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I did many nights when I was real young. I go look garden by myself on Tuesday night and just watch the man. Man, I just loved it.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Go ahead, Jim.
Well, I'm looking at I did a lot of research on your matches, and I mean, brother, like six whole pages of probably 1,000 matches I've looked at. Not watched the matches, but looked at the history of it. And I did see, you know, you kind of did the USWA deal where Bart Sawyer, Flash Flanagan, some other guys. And then you came directly, it looks like, to Burt Prentice, basically. You started working for his North American All-Star Wrestling, where guys like Colorado Kid, Shane Eden, then, of course, you worked Vic the Bruiser at OVW and other things like that. But talk about working for Burt around that time, especially, you know, Burt's, we talk about Burt all the time on here, so.
Man, I love Burt. You know, he is what he is. He's a shyster, and, you know, you knew it. But
OG.
Who didn't like Burt, you know, really?
Right.
I mean, he always had a scam.
Of course.
You know, I think, you know, and honestly, I'm sad to say this, but I didn't believe in the cancer deal for, you know, actually a long time.
Like, yeah, I remember that.
You know, I just can't believe, you know. But, man, I love you. Burt was fun. You know, I got a good Burt story.
Yes.
Because you know Burt drooled at the mouth over the pretty boy.
Yeah.
So Burt's, we're in Nashville, and Burt's like, can you bring somebody with me next week? To, you know, I want to just basically have it, you know, send me a jobber out for TV at night. I don't remember what he's trying to build me up for. I think it might have been the Colorado Kid, because I worked him quite a bit in the USWA.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm telling Burt, in my mind, I'm explaining young Nick Dinsmore, who just kind of like started. You know, little young 18-year-old tan boy, all muscled up, you know, and Burt's sitting there licking his lips, and oh, yes. Well, I bring this guy with me that we called him Waylon. And he looked like Fred Flintstone. Just a big mopping head on him, and just fat with, you know, looks like homemade tattoos here and there and shit.
Yeah.
So, we go into the lot next Saturday night, whatever it was. We go in the locker room, and Burt's like, you know, did you bring him? I'm like, yeah. And Wayne's standing with me, and Burt's like, where is he? I said, he's right here, Burt. And I put my hand around Waylon. Burt looked at me, and he took his finger. He said, I got to talk to you. He says, matter in front of a bitch. And I just, I'll never forget that, because he was stiff. Later on, I brought him Nick. And he, you know, of course, he was all right with it then, but Burt, man, I like working for Burt. You know, you had a lot of creativity in what you did yourself, and what you was doing. You know, Burt, one of those guys that come and tell you everything he wanted you to do from start to finish. You know, hey, I want you to help get this guy over for me, or hey, we're building you up for this, and that's all you needed to know.
Yeah, really.
So I like working for Burt.
Yeah. You're kind of like me, man, especially if you're in the wrestling business, especially back then, man. You run into some really shady people and all that, and you just have to take people as what they are. You know, if you know going in,
it is what it is, man.
This guy's, you know, it is what it is. You just know that.
But yeah. It didn't mean you didn't have to like him.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like nowadays, I won't get into politics, but just because of one side or the other, it's like, you know, you can't have a friend that's a Republican or a liberal or a Democrat, because you got to hate him if you do, you know, because not years later. You know, you could be what you want and still be somebody a person likes. I mean, you know, I've got a lot of friends that we don't agree on shit, and you know what, we just don't talk about it.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, but yeah, like I said, man, you know, like I said, Burt, you knew what you got, but, you know, I love working for him, and he was always good to me. I don't ever have nothing bad to say about Burt.
Right.
Man, you tagged, you know, when it changed from North American to MCW, you got to tag with somebody we love to hear stories about. And this guy is legendary. He means a lot to Wolf. He means a lot to wrestling, especially in the Memphis scene, too, is Billy Travis, man. Do you have anything you can talk about Billy?
Man, I love work, man. He was, you know, again, you know, that was back when Billy was great.
Yeah.
You know, Billy was great. I remember Jamie fucking with him a lot. we might have been under a little influence of something here and there, and I think it was the snakes that Billy was scared of or something, and Jamie fucked with him, holler snake, and Billy fucking turned white and just he's getting this shit out in the ring, you know. We'd be out there in the fucking ring. Next, Billy fucks the ring. Just funny.
I'm not sure.
And the thing is, everything, you know, fucking people didn't know no damn difference.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we're out there having fun and putting on a good show, and that, you know, they don't see none of that shit. You know, they don't know anything. You know what I mean? It was great shit. But, the few times I got to work with him and whatnot and be around him, man, I don't have too many bad things to say about too many people, you know. Honestly, just...
Billy was hilarious, man. He was a funny dude, man. He really was, you know.
Yeah.
He had
Billy just, devices. You know, he'd have you laughing and shit. You know, the locker rooms in those days were fun to be in.
Yeah. Oh, man. I can't imagine.
You have guys... Yeah. To me, the fun started going out of it when WWE come, or, you know, WWF in those days, you know, got in our locker room. And, you know, it's tension and shit. You know, it's like, went from being fun and having a good time and trying to sell your product and sell yourself and whatnot to, you know, like, damn. You know, too much stress in here. Hey, shit. That's, you know, that's what I didn't like, you know. I liked the little paychecks you got when you went to WWF, but...
Right.
You know, it was like, man, it just, it wasn't fun for me.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, to me, it was just stress. You know, it's like, fuck, you know, it's like now, if training horses ever becomes a job for me, I'll probably quit.
Right.
Because I love doing it.
Yeah. Back to Billy real quick, though, the snake thing. We got to talk about that because that was just a thing of his, man, dude. I'm telling you, we were going down I-40, leaving Memphis, you know, probably midnight or something. And he did his deal, man, and that's what triggered it or whatever. It wasn't like he just walked around, you know, people that are listening. He didn't just walk around being scared of snakes all the time. he'd do his little gimmick, and man, he was driving, and he starts telling me that it's coming through the vents and all this shit, and then he fucking pulled the car over on the side of I-40, got down like in a push-up position, looking all up under the car and shit. I'm like, Billy, get the fucking car, let's go. Oh man.
Oh my god.
Well, I don't know what that was about. Let's take a quick time out and get a word from one of my dope ass sponsors, and we'll be right back with more Live and in Color with Wolfie D.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, The Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
This is Steve Bowtie Bryant here. Back in the 90s, I was a pro wrestling photographer for the South, and I released what might have been one of the original sets of indie trading cards. I ran across some of these original sets. They were up in Randall Fanning's attic all this time. PG-13 rookie card, Ricky Morton, George Weingroff as the Sheep, Chris Champion, Reno Riggins, Billy Montana, Gary Valiant, the Scorpion, the Medic, Rick Reynolds, Jeff Daniels, Mephisto and Dante, Ben Jordan, Steve Neely, Marcus Woodrow, Clinton Charisma, Little Farmer John. If you'd like an opportunity to get these cards, contact me now. You can get them for only $49.99. Contact me at Steve Bowtie Bryant at iCloud.com. Get your set now while supplies last.
Hey folks, this is Wolfie D here, and if you are looking to buy or sell a home in Tennessee or Southern Kentucky, you're going to want to call my buddy, the rock star realtor, Benji Bowie. And you say, Wolfie, how do I get in touch with this rock star? Well, you can call him directly at 615-390-8216. You can go to his website, BowieHomes.com. That's B-U-I-E Homes.com. Or you can email him at BenBowie34@gmail.com. When you need a home, you need the Rockstar Realtor.
Benji is a member of Exit Realty's Garden Gate team in Gallatin, Tennessee.
Okay, well, kind of leading out into, you know, we talked about Billy there, but then, you know, kind of, I'm just going through your history here. Then it leads you to IWA Mid-South. Now, you worked Ian and Axel, Ox Harley, you worked with Madman Pondo. Can you tell us a little bit about the time there? Sometimes it's positive, sometimes it's negative. What were your thoughts of working IWA?
You know, man, I'll get to the negatives in a minute. The positives I had working out there, that was it. Okay, now we'll go to the negatives.
I thought we lost you.
I did too. I thought he hung up.
I'm still here. Honestly, the only reason I worked there, and I never really, I don't even know if I ever found out Danny's reasoning for it, but, you know, because Danny, you know, like a lot of other people, as far as the feelings for Ian go.
Yeah.
But Danny, we were running, you know, a show out on Dixie at the high, one of the high schools, Valley, I think it's called. Yeah, Valley High School. Mm-hmm. And Ian come one night. I think Danny was just trying to not have some damn inner city war.
Yeah.
Have them, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, trying to create a little working relationship with them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Danny had sent me out there to work a few Ian shows. And Ian, you know, actually, I got to know Bull Plain, you know, I guess there's a positive, you know, Bull's one of the guys, yeah, good friends that I got to meet and work with and whatnot from that. Me and Bull later on worked a bunch for West Thatcher in Ohio.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I went out there, worked a few shows for, you know, doing what Danny said, but protecting myself. Well, then he had a big show like once a year in New Albany that, mm-hmm, you're like 600 people or something like that. Uh-huh. And he had me on the main event with Pondo. And no, you know, there's never no disrespect to Pondo or whatnot, but his style and my style just didn't mix for me.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I just, you know, I said, I'm not going out there and get hit in the fucking head with light bulbs.
Right.
And,
right,
you know, I'm not going to do all this fucking shit. You know, Danny trained me different.
Right.
You know, it's a little bit different than going through a fucking table or getting whacked in the head with a chair. You know,
but I imagine with your gimmick, a lot of people assume that you would just be down for whatever like that. I'm just saying.
I guess, and you're probably right. But at that point, I still hadn't really. Cornette really helped me with, you know, was really bringing the gimmick out when Corny, yeah, come in. You know, yeah. I still wore shit. You know, Corny's want to come up. You know, hey, why don't you start wearing a wife beater T-shirt, blue jeans, and boots? You know, just, you know, look like a, you know, some bitch from the trailer park.
Yeah.
And so, but I guess I maybe handled it the wrong way because I kind of called Ian out in the locker room in front of everybody, you know, said, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
You know, I'll just go home, you know, and it wasn't no disrespect to Pondo at all.
Yeah.
He's just got his style of mind, but I just said, you know, thumbtacks and all that shit, I ain't fucking doing it. You know,
right.
You can't pay me enough. I'm just not doing it. And I was going to have to put him over. And yeah. I said, you know what Danny Davis would fucking do to me if I put Pondo over in our backyard?
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to protect myself too, you know, and I was always a company man, you know, it was whatever was best for OVW.
Right.
And so, you know, I ended up working Shark Boy.
Mm-hmm. I saw that.
First,
yeah,
two or three matches.
Yeah.
I ended up working Shark Boy and then, and me and him always got along really good. And I think he put me over and I went and packed my shit of course, I got the, well, you know, I got to pay you less because you didn't work the main event bullshit. And,
yeah.
You know, went on home, and that was the last time I worked for him.
You know, my biggest complaint with Ian is that he really fucked up Kentucky wrestling. Before Ian Rotten started running shows and doing all that crazy shit, I promise you, not one time, I don't know if it's because, you know, Jarrett Promotions took care of all the licenses or not. I never saw a fucking commissioner. I never knew I don't know if I had a license or not. I don't know. And it's like, you know, we fought in the crowd and shit. And now the way it is, you know, how strict they are in Kentucky, it's because of him. I think he fucked it up.
The old commissioner there was forever would pop up here and there to a show. And, you know, you got any new guys? Yeah, here's, you know, and he put the money in his pocket. You know, I don't even know if I had a license until Tim Gunnerman come along.
Yeah,
you know, yeah. I don't, you know, he was just basically taking payoffs. I can't remember Bill Boy's name, but no, he didn't mess with nobody.
Yep.
You know, whenever he popped up to a show, if he got his little payoff, he didn't worry about nothing. Do whatever the hell you want.
Yeah. Right.
Because no matter what, you still, as a promoter, had to be bonded. So you can't sue you can't sue the wrestling commission.
Yeah.
You know, you can give a shit, but you're exactly right. And I always felt too, before that shit, you know, kayfabe was still being observed pretty good.
Yeah.
That just, you know, when you see guys, motherfucker, take 3 power bombs and get up and look at you and say, fuck you. You know, like, come on, dude. You know? I mean, and I guess that's probably been with every generation of the wrestling, because, you know, man, you look way back in the day, you know, damn, you know, body slam or shit would, you know, put the guy over.
Right.
You know,
right.
You know, there's, you know, way back in the day. Haystacks, Calhoun, and them guys, you know. It didn't take much, and you got pinned. You know, that's just, I guess, over time it progresses, but still, man, I agree 100%. That kind of ruined wrestling around here, and next thing you know, you got all these damn rules. You got to watch it, you know. You got to be careful about smoking your pot or, you know, whatever. Yeah. You know, he can drug test you now, and you know, that's a lot of guys just didn't want to come here no more, neither.
Yeah, for sure. For sure, man. But yeah, just all that. And you talking about, you know, kind of the style now, how, you know, of course, everything evolves over time, everything in wrestling has. But the bar has gotten to a point where it's hurting, in my opinion, it's hurting the longevity of the guys' careers. You notice how long dudes are staying in now? Not that fucking long.
No, the days of guys being, you know, like Undertaker and shit, them days are over.
Oh, yeah.
Totally. Yeah.
You know, especially guys being on top for that long.
Right.
You know, them days are over. And honestly, I believe a lot of that is because until they moved and broke away from Danny and moved to Florida and started, which is now NXT, mm-hmm. man, everybody, even those, you know, Brock and all them, they were still old school trained.
Right.
You know, and I don't know if you remember when we were still in Indiana. Man, that place had no fucking heat. Hardly had no. It had no air.
Yeah.
I mean, man, that was a legit gym. Like, you know, class or rest, you're sweating your ass out. You know, you paid your dues, man. You know, wasn't nothing handed even to those guys. Wasn't nothing really just handed to them. I mean, they had to work. And learn. And if you learn the old school ways, in my opinion, that's where the longevity comes in.
Yeah.
You know, but now, like you said, man, these guys. I mean, what can you do that's going to be more over than something you seen last week? I mean, it's like nothing's built no more.
Right.
You know, used to, the first match was to bore them to death with nothing but wrestling. Nobody go outside the ring or nothing. The show built per match,
right?
Which led up to the main event. And you better leave them something, you know, with something left to do.
Yeah. I mean, is there any way to fix that, you think? Is there any way to fix that?
I don't know. I do know there are still a ton of old school wrestling fans. You know, I proved that with a town around here outside Louisville, E-Town, Kentucky.
Yeah.
OVW ran it for years, and it just got run down, and it got to where it wasn't drawing 20 people. So Danny quit running it. Well, then when I took over OVW, and before I started writing TV, I took over running all the spot shows, you know, promoting them and setting them up and whatnot. And Danny told me, he said, E-Town's just dead. He said, you know, no, it's not, man. It's an old school town. You know, all this bullshit you guys are doing now, they want to see old school wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And we had built it back up to about 300 people, which in that area was a decent little draw.
Yeah.
You know, but over time, just Dundee out there quite a bit, Tracy Smothers, you know, them were still old school Memphis wrestling fans, and that's what they wanted to see. So, I really believe this thing. But, man, everything's been so ruined. Everybody knows everything.
Yeah.
You got all these marks that are smart. You know, I mean, you know, man, now you got guys that fucking thank each other on social media for what a great match you had.
Yeah.
That irks me to death.
Yeah.
What the hell, man?
You're supposed to...
The theory of wrestling is the psychology of making these people believe into your characters and what you're doing.
Right.
And how can they believe that if you give them nothing to believe because you're telling them it's bullshit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how can they believe anything? And I've always said, even a lot of the marks back in the day, in their mind, they had to know.
Yeah.
But wrestling was like a daytime soap opera that somebody might sit around the house and watch for that hour or two. You're lost. You're away from the real world.
Exactly. You know, exactly.
If you're consumed in what you're buying and believing and having a good time and getting into it, well, then you go home and live your normal life for another week.
Well, it's exactly. like I've said 1,000 fucking times, man. It's like I enjoy like Chris Angel, David Copperfield, all that kind of stuff. I love magicians. I think it's cool. I know the motherfuckers ain't got superpowers, but I don't know how they do it, and I don't really want to know. You know what I'm saying?
Right. No, right.
Because you're lost for that hour that you're watching it just because you love it. And wrestling's no different.
Right.
But they don't give people nothing anymore to get lost into. You know, right. There's no, where's the psychology? You know, man, I know you didn't, Wolfie. We didn't have guys back there sitting, writing shit and telling us what to say.
Oh, yeah. That's
and how to say it and have damn acting coaches and all that shit. You know?
Yeah.
We didn't have all that crap. You learned to do it. You either got it or you didn't.
Right.
Yeah. And honestly, I never really got it until Danny put me in a program with Rip Rogers for like 6 months. And honestly, I hated it. Hated Rip. You know, I was still young at the time. You didn't get to get your shit in. You know, right. You didn't get to do nothing. And I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. Yeah. But that was the best 6 months I think I ever had in my life. Because in the end, you know, it was like I just woke up like one day and was like, oh, okay. Yeah. You know.
Light
and
bulb.
Boom. You know.
Yeah.
So you got any good Rip stories? You have to, right?
Oh, how long of a show do you got?
Man, tell your story.
I love Rip to death. Rip, man, you know, the first time I met Rip was at Danny's.
Mm-hmm.
Rip come in. I'm greener than dirt. I might only work 5-6 matches at that point. Uh-huh. But I'm sitting there next to Vic the Bruiser. You know, I love like a brother too, you know, Vic.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm sitting there next to Vic. Here comes Rip. He walks in, sucks his bag down, looks around, sees me, walks over in front of me. He's smiling. He takes his hand and reaches down his ass crack and pulls out a butt packing. And he gets right in my face and he puts it in his mouth.
Oh, fuck.
Wow. Whoa.
And I'm not putting it over. I'm just sitting there laughing, you know, because Vic had already warned me. He said, don't, you know, he said, if you put it over, it'll just get worse.
Oh man!
You know, he's trying not to react, and I don't know, but you know, man, I love Rip too, man. You know, Rip, Rip is Rip. That's the damn sure. God, man, I remember, you know, him pulling off, leaving Scott Romer at the gas station. Romer running down the fucking road. You know, like we was going to Atlanta because Rip was getting us booked for WCW doing jobs.
Uh-huh.
You know, jobs and shit. So. Because Rip was one of those guys, he pull in, you know, if you're going inside to get any of that fucking junk food or whatever, if you're not back by the time this gas tank's full, I'm leaving you, and Rip would fucking leave you.
Wow.
You know, Rip would go in with us to, we stopped to get the buffet, well, Rip ain't spending no fucking money. You know, Rip sit there and order a glass of water, and fucking people get up and leave their food, and Rip grabbed the plate off the table and started getting their fucking laptop. Rip was something else. I mean, Rip is something else, but I don't think I've ever been around anybody that's more smart to the business.
Yeah,
of actually, teaching you how to work and just the psychology of it, man. You know,
right?
Like, oh, okay, there you go. You know, slam him down to the ground, kick him 4 times. Now you want to pick him up and throw him into the fucking ropes? You fucking idiot! Man, Rip is, you know, and there's a lot of these guys I know that, you know, somebody might, you know, that Rip helped make a lot of those guys, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
Rip was, and, you know, and I've always been the same, you know, so I've been training 16 years and I still look to learn something every day with the horses, just like I did with the wrestling business. No matter how long I was in it, I was like, man, you just, you know, and Ric Flair one time told me in Atlanta, you know, bullshit with me because it comes from Danny's and whatnot and all that.
Right.
Anyway, said Rip would get a few of us booked, you know, mainly because then that way he would get us booked to do some jobs so he didn't have to pay for trains. You know, he got us booked. Yeah. So, you know, we carted his ass around.
Yeah.
And, but just, you know, whenever you think you know everything about your craft, you need to quit because you don't know shit. There's always something new to learn every day, you know, good or bad. Yeah. That's what I always try to take out of everything. But, man, the times that we had and the fun, so I wouldn't trade it for nothing, man.
Exactly.
You know, I remember one night you and Jamie, well, I was living upstairs at Danny's, and I think you and Jamie come at work, and hell, I don't know if I was asleep, whatever. Next thing you know, here the light kicks on, here you guys are. Hey, Trey, let's go the hood. and off we went, man. You know, like, fuck. To me, all that shit has made me who I am now.
And yeah.
Really, man, it makes us who we are now, man. You know, we've lived life and had damn fun. And of course, you know, speaking for myself, I wish I listened more because I'm definitely paying for a lot of shit they told me I'd pay for later. you know, ripping special. Oh, yeah, you young fuck, full of cum now. Wait about 20 years and tell me how that feels.
Oh, man. Well, you know, speaking to somebody who else, it was very outspoken. You obviously brought him up a little bit earlier. And the listeners always ask this question to Wolfie because we have Ask Wolfie Anything and stuff. But when it comes to Jim Cornette, can you give us a good corny meltdown? Have you ever just seen him lose his absolute mind on somebody?
On somebody or something?
Cause anything. Just whatever. Yeah, whatever.
You know. And I love Jimmy to death. I do, man. Jimmy was always good to me from the extra payoffs. I remember the night I broke my hip at the Gardens. Me and Flash had a street fight that was really phenomenal, a fucking thing. And we both showed up TV. I had a crutch, you know, getting out of my car, but we showed up for TV next night, you know. Jimmy gave us both envelopes, like, you know, go home, rest your wounds, you know.
Yeah.
You can't do no more after last night. But man, Jimmy was just always good to me, and you learned so much from Jimmy. Jimmy, when I was taking over OVW, was helping me write TV for a little bit. But anyway, back to the story. We was at the Gardens, and I don't remember what the fuck set him off, because it didn't take much anyway. No. I think he showed up pissed off, and they didn't have, you know, down in the basement, they didn't have his room unlocked yet. So he picked up a folding chair and he beat the fucking door until he beat the door down. Wow. And I think it cost Danny about $800.
Holy cow.
And, you know, of course, everybody knows about, you know, I wasn't there, obviously, but the big Wendy's thing. But, man, that's just, I remember Jimmy chasing the motherfucker in the parking lot, trying to run some bitch over. I can't remember. Man, I've had a lot of concussions, so sometimes if I'm starting to talk about something, then my memory goes to the shits. I can't remember the name or something, but anyway, man, I think, I don't know the whole story of that neither, but I mean, Jimmy even mouthed off the last. I mean, Jimmy didn't give a shit who
he don't care. He don't.
Yeah.
Jimmy didn't give a fuck who you were. I mean, he mouthed off the Lesnar. I mean, you know, it was always a good thing when you come back after your match and Jimmy was smiling.
Yeah.
If you really fuck something up, I mean, man, Jimmy can go off, boy. I mean, just, it is unreal. See, that we did the door thing. Man, there's so many.
I imagine.
Because you knew the meltdown was coming.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Hair trigger. Yeah. Did you ever see him and Danny disagree on anything and go at it, or was he pretty?
Nope. Yeah. Nope. Never did. I never one time, I'm sure they had to have, and I know, you know, he pissed Danny off several times because, you know, back in those days, I was Danny's, you know, right-hand man.
Right,
It was for years, you know, for years. But I never seen them too confrontational at all.
Yeah.
I never, but I'd have to, you know, two different people knowing Jimmy the way he is and Danny the way he is. You know, you don't want to fucking piss Danny Davis off me.
Nope. Not a bit.
And there was times, you know, my recent stay at OVW that, you know, I had to bring him into my office. I'm like, man, shut the door. Damn, you know, Dad, settle down. You know, I mean, he's fucking red. This motherfucker about to kill somebody. You're going to blow a fucking artery.
Yeah. Oh, man.
But, you know, it took a lot to piss Danny off. But, you know, but at the same time, if it had anything to do with hurting the show or the business, then he would snap quick.
Well, and you know, Jim never wanted to do that. So that would probably make them on the same team, because Jim wouldn't want to hurt the show either. That's the other thing.
No, you know? And that's why I say I never seen them confrontational one time. But I know they have disagreements and this and that, but you know, who don't? Especially if you're in business together, but I don't ever remember him one time.
Yeah, that's cool. What about Jim and Rip, maybe? Because I can imagine they're similar, too, and hair trigger, you know.
Well, man, I know they had issues, but again, I never seen them.
Sure.
you know, but they set so much respect for each other for being old school.
Right.
You know, it's just, you know, you wasn't going to see it anyway.
Being
behind closed doors thing that nobody else is going to see.
That way it didn't
hurt anybody's credibility as far as, you know, well, Jimmy belated him or you know, ripped his ass. So you never seen that shit.
Yeah.
Now seeing him going off on somebody, well, oh, yeah, all the time. There's a Rip Rogers. There was a time at Danny's, if he was fucking up in your match, Rip would come out, just come busting out with a kendo stick and beat the fuck out of you both. I mean, it happened many times. If you seen Rip coming out, you're like, oh, fuck.
Oh, what have I done now? Oh, man. Oh.
Yeah, you know, and Rip was old school. You know, Rip fucked with you in the ring, too. I remember a tag match or six-man tag. I did some spot and fucked up with Rip. And I think I run over and tagged Rob Conway in real quick. And I said, tell Rip I'm sorry. I'm getting the fuck out of here because I know what happened. He's going to beat my ass.
That's a good one.
Oh, man. I got to ask, because I know we're kind of bouncing all over the place, but because I know you end up working a lot in Puerto Rico, too. Is there any fun Puerto? I know we talked about it a little bit earlier, but is there anything from Puerto Rico that you remember that was kind of wild as far as any experience there?
Man, probably my exit.
Okay.
It's not the exit style that Wolfie and Jamie went out in.
no ice hot, nothing like that.
It wasn't as good as that. but, I, you know, really, man, working when I first got down there, I was stuck real quick in a program with, man, here I go with the name shit, but, you know, some bitch is Fab Brody. Invader.
Oh, man.
Invader.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, again, we got along. Of course, I was going to get along with him. You know, I'm thinking, you know, my first Sam Brody, who am I?
Right,
They might not even find my body, so I ain't going to fuck with him. And I'm new here. You know, I'm just going to, old school, be here on time, shut the fuck up and do what I'm told, you know, and collect my check. But he took a liking to me. Man, he would get me so fucked up. he made his own rum. And he'd bring that shit to the fucking shows. And, man, it would be four or five shots of that shit, and I'd be fucking drunk. So, I mean, I had a lot of good times down there. I really did. I mean, I don't really, other than my exit, I really can't bitch about nothing down there. I've met a lot of guys I still stay in contact with. You know, that was one of my biggest things is all the friends I made throughout the years that I stay friends with now. Because, man, just, you know, we all got the thing in common. You know, it's still a brotherhood no matter what. Yada yada, but yeah, I really liked it in Puerto Rico, man. You know, for the time I was there. And then I went back later on and worked Flash for the Christmas shows for Savio. Several years later, and I really enjoyed that. That's, I don't know if Flash ever brought this story up, but that's, I saved Flash's life.
Oh, really?
I saved his fucking life. And not bragging on it, thank God I wasn't as fucked up as he was, is all. You know, the thing back in the day in Puerto Rico, you go down there, you go to the pharmacy and get you some fucking somas.
Right. Sure.
Yeah.
And I love those fucking things, man. So that was Flash picked me up at the airport, you know, first stop, Pharmacia, baby.
Yeah.
And whatnot. So, but that first night, I think it might be my first night there for those particular shows. I think we worked, and I think Flash had got some steaks, maybe it was. And so we were grilling out. He had the gimmick apartment from the office. And I guess he ate too many fucking somas. And I looked over there, man, and he's passed out on the fucking couch with a mouthful of steak.
Oh,
a fucking mouthful.
Oh, bro.
And so I drag this motherfucker. I mean, he's out. I'm dragging this motherfucker over to the garbage can, putting my fucking fingers in his mouth, digging all his food out of his fucking mouth and shit. You stupid motherfucker. you can fucking die on me tonight, you cocksucker. And they fucking made it, got paid yet. So fuck. but, you know, I love Flash, though. But yeah, man, we I know it's somebody's going to choke to death that night. I guarantee he was out. You know, But you know, ain't nothing I didn't do either at some point. You know,
right?
I love them damn things, man. When I get down there, boy, I'd stay fucked up. You know, I'd eat them things like candy. Just man,
that was a thing in the 90s for sure.
Yeah, man. You gonna hit me 3 or 4 times? Go ahead, fuck. You know, care, man. Or you get the taxi driver, man. That's where I got my pot from. Go down there to the taxi stand and give fucking one of them $5 and ride you around the block so you go back and pot.
Yeah.
I like it down there eating on pinchos after the shows. Fuck, that was, you know, it was like $1 a stick, man. Hell, you get 5 sticks. That was, you know, fuck, eating cheap.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
That was back. Subway had the 3 for 10 footlongs, too.
Right.
Eat for $10 for the whole day.
Yeah.
There was a time in Puerto Rico that we're in the middle of the ring and somebody threw one of those empanadas at us, and it hit Jamie like right in the face, right? And people, I mean, it's a big crowd, and they popped like crazy, but they popped even bigger when he picked it up and ate it.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
That's fucking classic.
Yeah.
That's classic.
It's great.
Only Jamie. Was that not a fucking rock?
Yeah,
that was the first time I ever worked where people were throwing shit at you. What the fuck?
I mean, and I've heard they throw batteries down there. Are they that cheap? Because batteries are high, man. They're not cheap.
Maybe I know if you got heat and you did the gimmick or whatever to get over. You better get the fuck out of there. Them guys, they'd be throwing shit, rocks. What is, get your ass back in the locker
room. Right. Yeah. Right.
Sure.
Yeah.
Man, Trash, it's been great talking to you, man. We're kind of running on our time here. Jimmy, do you got any final questions for him before we wrap it up?
I mean, honestly, there's so many. We just probably need to have a part two. But I would say this, you know, working all through OVW. Now, we know the guys who made it, right? And let's take the Wolfies, the Chris Michaels, the Sean Casey's out of it. Maybe not. But is there one guy through OVW time that you worked with and you were like, I don't necessarily see this guy, but this guy's got it. He's going to be I promise. I feel like this guy's going to do it. Was there anybody through that OVW time that you just said, this is the dude?
Man, there were several guys.
But
you know, one bad thing about the wrestling business was, you know, sometimes it didn't matter how good you were. You just needed to be in the right place at the right time.
Right. Right.
You know, and so there was really several guys. None of them that I would, if I could remember the name, probably nobody, you'd hear of. But I take it back. One in particular, Jason Wayne.
Okay.
When I went back to OVW 15 years ago, whatever the hell it was, they had this kid, Jason Wayne. And, man, he was just a young, good-looking kid, athletic, you know, just still green. But, I mean, man, just, you know, it was like, man, this kid's got the look. And he's good, you know, for where he's at this time, you know, part of the game.
Yeah.
I got him hooked up. I did a show. Actually, it was the first show Lawler come back after his heart attack.
Gotcha.
Was in Mississippi at a fair show for Kenny Wayne.
Okay.
And he had me bring, you know, some OVW guys down, and Jason was one of them. And I tell you who, and I told him about him, and then he watched him work and whatnot. And he actually got him a call. I'm talking about Downtown Bruno. You know, because Bruno was there as ref and whatnot.
Right.
And, you know, he was just, this kid caught your attention, man. It's like, man, this kid's got it. And you know, with the right people behind him, you know, like up there, you know, fuck, you get acting coaches and all this shit. I mean, you know, he was a guy I thought I could see being a star.
Yeah.
And he actually got a call. And for whatever reason, it wasn't a good time in his life or something. Him and his wife were just, and he was a Marine. He was actually in the Marines, but he served his time and been out. He was like mid-20s.
Yeah.
And he just, he turned the offer down to come up. And, you know, so they could get a look at him and shit. And I, you know, I begged him. I said, man, you might never get that call again. You know?
Yeah.
Right. Jason Wayne would stick out more than any of them as somebody I thought would have been a really good guy too.
Yeah.
But there was others, but Jason sticks out more than any.
That makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. I like that.
But real quick, let me end with this real quick story of Nick Dinsmore, because I didn't get to bring up Nick. I got a couple good ones on Nick Dinsmore, but when Nick first joined Danny's school, a little young strapping thing, and he had a hot girlfriend, man. And I told him, I said, Nick was always eating healthy fucking rice cakes and shit. I told him, I said, I promise you, if you're in this fucking business a year, your little girlfriend, fiance is going to be gone and you're going to be eating fucking White Castles. And of course it happened. Then the first Nick's first trip to Memphis, I took him to Memphis, and of course we had to stay at the Admiral. We go in the room and there's a pair of dirty women's underwear on top of the lampshade.
Nick's
like a 19-year-old kid who was, football star for Providence and mommy's boy. Never been to the hood. And it was funny as hell, man. He did, they had a fucking lamp in the bathroom with the cord was duct taped together and then plugged into the fucking wall. Nick Dinsmore, man, I love, another kid that comes through OVW
I remember Nick when he was first breaking in. I stayed with him. Him and Derek and somebody else. They all kind of stayed together. I can't remember who else it was, but I remember Nick from back then, man. Lots of fun times, man.
Man, well, hey, brothers, I enjoyed this very much. I don't do podcasts or anything. I just don't watch wrestling anymore. I don't knock it. Not my cup of tea. I prefer to have my memories of the old days, and I love following my old buddies and stuff with social media and stuff like that. Honestly, I think this may be only second podcast I've ever done.
I appreciate it, man.
Yeah.
Man, I love you to death, Wolfie. You guys took me under your wing a little bit at Memphis and kind of showed me the road, man. And that's why I always love you and Jamie for that, respect you and love working with you. Anytime, man, anytime. Call me up anytime. I love it.
Thank you.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. So, Jimmy, when we come back from break, what do we got for the people?
We got Ask Wolfie D Anything.
Oh,
man.
Hell.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Trash.
Yeah, man.
Hey, thank you, man. Thank you, man. Stay in touch. Good luck to you guys. Hope it works out. Send me a something where I can share this. Let me know when it's going to be on. I'll make sure
it'll drop Monday, and I'm sure that either today or tomorrow Jimmy will go ahead and drop the coming soon. That won't have any links on it, but you can share that, and then Monday.
Give me something to share so I could
thank you, my
social media's full,
Brother. You know, you said you don't do a lot of these. I will say this, and this is not bragging. Please don't take it this way. But be prepared for about a billion other podcasts to ask you now. So I'm just saying.
Fucking PG-13 was over, bro.
Hey,
what was the name of that song you guys used to come out to? Nah.
Oh, that's
The Hot Stepper.
Never could remember that shit.
Yeah.
Well, hey, man, anytime, Wolfie, stay in touch. It's nice meeting you, buddy.
Thank you.
If you ever need anything, just give me a call, man.
We appreciate
you, dude.
Very much.
Y'all have a good day, brother.
All right.
Thanks, man.
DJ, hit the music. All right, we are back with Ask Wolfie D Anything. And man, Trailer Park Trash, what a cool dude. Like you said, Frank Miller, I mean, he's just really got some great stories. And it's the cool part about it is like, if you look at his history, the dude was an absolute OVW staple. I mean, brother was there forever and did all kinds of other stuff too, man. Really, really, like I say, I look at the resume and the resume is there,
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, man, one thing I forgot to mention to him is that, and I don't know how much the listeners know. I'm sure they do. If they're listening to us, I'm sure they know about the Netflix OVW thing that's coming on.
I know.
It's called Wrestlers. And, yeah. And it slipped my mind because he was telling someone good stories. It just slipped my mind. And I don't even know if he knows, but I watched the trailer for that. Trailer Park Trash was on the trailer. I just put that together right on the
trailer park trash. Yeah.
So, but anyway, I saw it and then he's on the trailer doing his leg drop there. I don't know.
Yeah. If he knows that, it's like the first old school clip in the thing. Cause starts with that Haley J girl and then it goes to Cash Flow, which tripping me out, bro, because I remember working with that dude at Porter's and then he was at Saw and I honestly liked him, but I didn't like the other guys with him sometimes. Some of the other guys were fine, but
yeah, he's been around for a while, man. And then, seems like he's got something good going up there too, but yeah. So Trailer Park Trash is in the trailer.
Yeah.
Literally and figuratively and literally twice, actually.
Well, anyway. You know, it makes me think, I wonder if Wolfie D is, you know, but we'll see.
I didn't see Slash. I did not.
No, I mean, I'm saying in the show, though, if you pop up in the show as a clip or something. Yeah.
It would have to be with Batista.
Right. Have to be probably with Batista. Or maybe Brock Lesnar or something.
But yeah. I don't
know. Yeah. Yeah, anyway.
But kudos to them and Al.
For sure, dude. Because, you know, I think when we had Al on the show, he talked about he was working on with something like that. And so if you think about that, that's 2 years ago. Yeah. And he said that off the air, but there was plans that this would maybe be starting. And yeah, man, big stuff. Okay, yeah, so good for them. I'm excited to watch it, you know, first of all. Yeah. It's cool because it's just like home stuff, man. You know, it's not WWE. It's not AEW. It's not the same old stuff. It's more wrestling, but different. And I like that. And, you know, the one thing that really, you know, I liked that Trash said was that, you know, OVW was considered the Harvard of wrestling schools. Mm-hmm. And I never thought of that. I never heard that. But, dude, that's a great way to say it, you know, because if you think, then that makes like you and him and Chris Michaels and Sean Casey and you all were the professors, you know. And then you had the Dean Danny and you know what I'm saying? Think about that. Professor D
over here.
Professor D. Good Lord. Would that be of anatomy? Never mind. All right. All right. Well, let's get on with the questions here, Wolfie D. So with the first question, it always goes to my homie, Ben Martin. And he has his questions. He says, if you were able and a company would come to you and say, we want you to wrestle for us, but you can only be one gimmick that you worked under, which would it be?
Slash.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ghost. I loved being that. And I mean, I love being Wolfie D. And actually, I feel like Wolfie D is more well known and all that stuff. And it is.
Yeah.
It's more of a fun type of gimmick. But I don't know. It's two different styles, really. I mean, yeah. I guess I did change a lot in my style of wrestling. But at the same time, I don't know. Under the right circumstances, I just really like that gimmick. And also, if they came to me right now, Wolfie D would be, you know, like a John Cena to the kids, you know?
Right.
What's the this kids guy? Would,
yeah.
Who's
yeah.
the fucking guy?
So. Wolfie D likes John Cena, guys. Look. Yeah. No, that's a good point. Yeah.
But then again, you know, and this is not a knock at all, okay, because I don't know the dude and I really ain't watched him wrestle that much. But it's like the L.A. Knight is getting, you know, oh, he's acting like The Rock and da-da-da-da-da to this generation. You know, it's weird. Yeah. That. But everybody, you know, things do go in cycles, just especially with wrestling, but hell, in the world in general, look at some of the fashion styles that just recycle themselves. You know, a lot of things from the 80s have come back now.
It's like every 30-40 years, You know, the stuff we wore when we were kids comes back, you know, and now it's like back to where the 80s is popular. Because you remember in the 80s, like the 50s and 60s were big. You know what I'm saying? Like, I remember growing up in the 80s, like they did Back to the Future and all this stuff was really 50s, and the 50s were really popular. And I think it's like 30, 40 years, because I remember last decade, everybody was like into the 90s kind of. And, you know, I remember in the 90s, we were into the 70s big time, you know. Like I, the Black Crowes and all these retro style stuff. So it just, it feels like there's always like a big nostalgia kick, you know, for the younger generation, which is a trip, you know. The post you made the other day was hilarious because it reminded me of my 17-year-old son, Cash, who basically it's like wearing a hoodie or wearing joggers. And we went like, dude, it was like 100 degrees. And I was like, brother, you got some. And I even like loaned him some shorts because he didn't bring shorts. I'm like, are you kidding me? It's it's 100 degrees, man. You know,
and they keep saying like the schools are cold or whatever. I mean, okay, but I know that yellow bird ain't. You know, I'm telling you, man, I'll throw Isaiah out, under the bus right now, but he went to school the other day. It was 102 heat index here. And he goes to school in a black hoodie and a black Orlando Magic jersey over top of that.
Yeah.
And you know how the jerseys are. I'm just thinking, oh my goodness, I would crawl out of my skin. They would have to stop the bus or I'd jump out the window. Ain't no way.
Yeah, no joke, man. Because, I mean, honestly, I don't know how they do it, brother. Because, like, I sweat, man. And I'm a hot-blooded guy. So I don't think I could do that.
I'm also a comfort guy. Sometimes don't care what the cool thing is.
Right,
I was in high school and middle school, especially. Man, I'd wear sweatpants almost every day. And I don't know if motherfuckers thought I was broke. And, you know, we weren't rich. We were probably closer to the lower. But, you know, I hardly ever wore jeans. I still don't. They're not comfortable.
Yeah. I did wear jeans for a really long time because I was in a rock band and I thought I had to, you know, like look cool and stuff.
Yeah.
Dude, and I'll be honest, man. You know, playing a show on Broadway, 4 hours of country music, sweating, boozing, you know, and you're having to peel those nasty smoke-filled Tootsie's pants off. Oh, brother. I was like, man, I wish it were cool to wear sweatpants. I wish it were cool to wear gym shorts because I would do that. But, I mean, you know, that was my sold-out days. That was my days that I sold out. But anyway, anyway, had to be done. All right.
So, Ben's question of what character I would choose turned us into a fashion talk segment.
Yeah, slashing. Get it? I was curious if you and he ever had a tag team called Trailer Park Slash.
No, but Park there Flash. Was times. Yes, there were times when, hell, probably all three of us were in the ring at the same time, and you got Cornette going, and Slash throws trash, and then here comes Slash.
Oh, my God. It's amazing. You can totally
find that, I guarantee you.
And then there's Dean Hill like, I tell you. Yeah, anyway. yeah, that's great. I got to find that, man, for sure. So Trash, throw Slash into Flash. But, yeah, so I was thinking of that question, but there were too many good questions to ask that I didn't want to just waste that one. You know what I'm saying? Because here's the thing. If I ask a question and he gives a good long answer, chances are you'll think of something to ask. And if I don't get a good one in, sometimes I'll miss it. And then the conversation moves along too far. You know what I'm saying? And I don't want to take it. That's just like podcasting interviewing 101 right there. Don't let the conversation go past, because if you do, you may never get to ask that question. And then if you do, it's going to be really backwards. So that was a free lesson, and that's the last one for y'all podcasting. Never mind. Anyway, so the next question is from Cause Effect on Instagram. So I like this question, and this is interesting because maybe you can't say, but what if anything, did you all carry in the pockets of your Nation of Domination coats, or will it incriminate you?
Probably in WWE, I don't think I was ever that ballsy, because you never know if something's gonna fall out your pocket.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
No you doubt. Know, and not, you know, we weren't wrestling full matches usually, stuff like that, but there have been times when there's been things in my pockets that shouldn't have been in other places. That was kind of and my pockets on one of my red shorts that I wore a lot were actually a little bit sewn shut. And so the little change pocket in the front was a good little spot. And yeah. Also sock, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I can just imagine what would be in the pockets of Jamie's. I mean,
I'll tell you a lot of things. This brings up kind of another topic here. A lot of old timers, and I've done it before, but a lot of old timers, man. They would, especially if you got your payoff beforehand, or if you had money on you, or anything like that. That's just going in your boot. You know,
yeah, totally, because it's the safest spot. Yeah,
yeah, and there, you never know, and fortunately, man, there hasn't been around me at least that many guys that weren't trusted like that, because that's the one thing that was like you did not go in someone else's bag, you know,
right.
Even really if it was like one of your fucking buddies, man, you know, you just don't go in their bag, you know. Even I know I've had times where hey man, you got any tape? Yeah, it's in my bag. I'm not going in your bag, go get it. It's kind of like a woman's purse.
right Yeah, no, totally. I don't like doing that ever. Michelle's like, go get this out of my purse. I'm like, no. I don't know, I'm not doing that. But no, I'm just thinking, let's think of things that could be in Jamie's pockets here. So I'm thinking of like a 14 karat.
Think about that.
Yeah, no. Besides the obvious, 14 karat gold herringbone necklace. Okay, I'd say that. Maybe like a pair of brass knuckles, possibly gimmicked or not.
Yeah, a chain. I mean, now you can put a lot of that was another advantage to having shorts on, man. If you had a gimmick finish or whatever,
yeah,
you could usually, you know, put a chain in your pocket or whatever. That was a little risky that it would come out of the pocket before it needed to. But man, and I've done it both ways. Like when you got a chain in your tights and you work a match, it goes time to get that sumbitch, it'd be around by your butthole. And you gotta try to dig it out of your ass to fucking get it sometimes, man. That wasn't a fun experience. Plus it makes you look stupid as hell.
Yeah.
And just yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Anyway, well, that yeah, I just always curious if you had a bunch of stuff in the pockets, but you guys were taking so many bumps in those jackets and you were all over the place in those, that to put anything really incriminating in there would not be the smartest.
That stays in your back or in the car.
All right. Thank you. Cause effect. Next question. Did working with the WWF help the USWA or hurt, in your opinion?
I mean, it helped us, man. It gives you credibility, you know, that, hey, we're not dead yet. I mean, we're still doing this. I mean, and obviously it helped everybody's payoff because Jerry Lawler versus The Undertaker on the main event at the Coliseum is going to draw, you know, so.
Absolutely.
You to be on that show. But yeah, it helped, because then you also knew that they're watching you. So that's another thing.
Yeah.
I don't see things like that hurt. I mean, I understand probably anybody that says, build your own stars, all that stuff. We still did that. We had good enough bookers and all that knew, you know, even though we went to WWE and wrestled with Smoking Guns for the titles and they, you know, beat us, they came to Memphis for us and did not beat. It was a disqualification. So, yeah, we got out of it, you know, and some people hate those types of finishes, but that was a way to do it where we didn't have to get beat at home and they could still give us a little bit of a rub.
Yeah. No, definitely. No, that makes total sense, because I think you're right, too. It just gave you that credibility, because, heck, there are people coming to the show. It's like, well, we've seen PG-13 wrestle. We've seen Jerry the King Lawler wrestle, but we've never seen Lex Luger and Yokozuna wrestle, you know, and
especially against who they might be wrestling.
Exactly. So it's all fresh. And I like it. But, you know, I see the point of the question in the long run. But when it comes down to it, that's a good one. Now, I mean, you guys were making stars such as Macho Warrior Rick Hogan and, you know, things. But, you know, we need to do a where is he now deal on that more.
Pretty sure prison.
Anyway, yeah, so that is all I got for the questions today. And we thank all of our listeners so much. And especially, you know, the last few shows have just been gangbusters. We greatly appreciate it. You know, Dirty White Boy's already in the top five. He's actually, you know, and that's just wild. Chase Stevens is knocking on the door. He's almost at 11, I think. And then, of course, Reggie Be Fine is just growing by the day. So when it comes down to it, thank y'all so much, for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And thanks again. And, we'll see what we can get scrounged up for you next week. It's getting hard. We're raising the bar. Like you just said, we're raising the bar. So it's getting harder and harder to top ourselves. So
yeah,
we'll do the best we can for you guys.
That's what we're doing, y'all. We're doing the best we can.
Absolutely. We're just hanging in there. But thanks again for listening to us on Live and in Color with Wolfie D, and we'll holler at you next week.
And now a word from our sponsor.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Give Me Back My Pro Wrestling, the podcast that's based on the old school but can still help you find the good stuff from today. Jimmy Street and the Plastic Sheik, Jared, are the undisputed tag team champions of the wrestling podcast world. From thought-provoking topics to superstar interviews to action figure expertise, this team does it all. And all they ask is, give me back my pro wrestling! Every other Thursday, wherever you listen to podcasts.
That's right. It's the talk of Middle Tennessee, the channel you love to hate and the channel you hate to love. It's Brian Turner from Brian Turner's VHS Rehab. And if you're looking for matches from Wolfie D to Jerry Lawler to Dusty Rhodes and the team that put a pimp before your eyes and a goatee between your thighs, Boudicca and Athena, go to LostWrestling.com. See, I made it easy for you. Brian Turner's VHS Rehab. Booyah.
Join me, Gene Jackson, for the Jackson Interaction Podcast, where I'll be doing one-on-one interviews with people from the world of professional wrestling, as well as stand-up comedy. You can get them anywhere podcasts are available in both video and audio form, but you can find them all at GeneJacksonPod.com.
Hey everyone, this is Shane from Insane Shane's World. I release wrestling figures of enhancement talent, mid-card wrestlers, and wrestlers that you never thought would have a figure available. So if you are interested in adding a really cool and rare figure to your collection, then don't hesitate to contact me at shamtheman73@gmail.com. That's shamtheman73@gmail.com. You can also join my Facebook group. Just search Insane Shane's World.
So that was another great episode. Hey, Wolfie, tell them where they can find you on social media.
Jimmy, they can find me in the club, bottle full of bub. I'm just kidding. They can find me on Facebook. My personal page is Warren Wolf, WOLFE. I'm on Instagram at WarrenWolf13.
You can always find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube at LiveWolfieD. Here's the thing. Wolfie always has offers for his autographed photos. He has a selection of some awesome photos from throughout his career that he will autograph and personalize any way that you want him to. Just contact him either directly at his personal Facebook page or through any one of our other pages, and we'll make sure you get in contact directly with Wolfie. Get those photos, right, Wolfie?
Yeah, I've got some good stuff on there, you know, to help with the podcast.
Folks, if you can't get out to a show to meet Wolfie D, there's nothing like that, especially for the fans of PG-13 and Wolfie D. And before we go, you can always find me, your host, Jimmy Street, at James Rock Street on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube.
And hey, Jimmy, before we go real quick, I just want to add in there, from the bottom of my heart, I really appreciate, first of all, the work you've done for this podcast. You have worked your butt off. Secondly, the people that are liking the page. Beyond that, even more, is the people that are listening, and we really appreciate that.
Yeah, and remember, guys, the podcast drops a new episode every Monday at noon, and our past episodes are streaming now on demand on all major podcast formats. Thanks again. I got a cat.
you don't.
He got a cap for you don't.
I got a cap for you don't.
He got a cap for you don't.
He got a cap for you don't. And here we go. The original white boy that came out sagging, not bragging, don't be hating, cause I'm spitting the truth. Still living in color. Plum rush your mother, utilize a hubcap. I'm like any other. Back in the day, I was N.O.D. and I was P to the G plus the 1 and the 3. In case you forgot, they call me Wolfie D. Been cloned and copied so many times. Tired of suckers taking credit for what is mine. You know who you are without me name dropping. Wrestling's first white boy coming out hip hop. Been doing it like this since 92. Laid low for a while and you thought I was through. Listen real close to these rhymes that I've injected. This shit's so sick it makes your ears get infected. Mad skills, no faking, there is no one great. Cause I'm bringing more folks than Obi-Wan or Vader. Not here to play games, so you better beware. You don't like me, so what?
I really don't care.
Like time I keep ticking and I can't be stopped. You suck a step to the side unless you wanna get dropped. When I finish, I'll straight knock you out. Please allow me to tell you what it's all about. I'm gonna wind it up, then I'm driving it home. It's Wolfie D, baby. Huh, I got a cap for your dome.
You got a cap for your dome.
You got a cap for your dome.
You got a cap for your dome.
This has been a James Rock Street production.